Ladies, did you know that your ability to live and feel authentically feminine is connected to your sexual power? Gentlemen, have you ever wondered what's behind those days when she seems to shine from within? If you answered yes to either of those questions, stay tuned for The O-Spot with best-selling romance author Rachel Kenley and get to the source of your power so you are living a life of greater connection and joy.
And good evening. Welcome to the O-Spot. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley. It is Wednesday, May the 4th. And for you Star Wars fans, may the 4th be with you. Tonight, first of all, I'm so sorry for not being with you last week. I had internet issues. Couldn't get on. I'm not sure why. I don't know. Maybe it was a predecessor to these ridiculous storms we're having here in New England. It's been gray all week. It's been chilly. It's supposed to be May, and it feels more like the beginning of April. I don't get it. I hope wherever you are, you've had warmth and sun and all that good stuff. But as I did tell you a few weeks ago, my awesome guest this evening is the incredible, the funny, the talented, the beautiful Ashlyn Chase. Yay!
Wow, that was quite the introduction. Thank you.
Ashlyn is many things, but we met because we both write in romance.
Absolutely. And we met at a book signing where I was signing Heaving Bosoms.
Heaving Bosoms. Is that or is that not like one of the world's best titles? It's just, it was so like fun. Crying out for somebody to finally, I mean, they refer to us as bodice rippers and mm-hmm. Oh, those Harlequin novels. And finally somebody gave us a title that we've all been laughing about.
Yep. Years. And you know, the sequel was Quivering Thighs.
What else could the sequel be? I mean, you had a literally off-kilter heroine.
Yes.
For Heaving Bosoms. She did. This is, you know, these women you see and you wonder, how on earth do they stay upright?
Right. A little off balance because she was so top heavy.
But, you know, and if you can't already guess, Ashlyn has an awesome sense of humor and she can put it in her books.
Yes.
Which is an amazing talent part. Because I can tell you, I'm pretty funny. People will tell you I'm pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty quick. I don't think I write funny well. I can't quite do it. And Ash does.
It's the other way around, though, for me. I'm a lot more quiet and normal. But you put me behind a monitor, you know, and I can hide and be all goofy. And it's fun.
Well, then all of you at home listening are certainly, or in your cars listening, wherever you are in for such a treat because she is behind her monitor, as it were.
That's right. I'm hiding. I can get away with anything.
And you know what, though? It's funny. We write these romance novels and people are like, well, it's fiction. This isn't how it works. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. Yes, but no, we hide and yet we get to let out.
Yes, absolutely.
This really great part of ourselves.
I think so, too. I think that, you know, expressing this, I would not be nearly as happy if I didn't have a chance to do that. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm not the only creative person who feels this way. But, you know, if we don't have a creative outlet, it builds up and builds up. And, you know, next thing you know, we're screaming at somebody.
Oh.
And if you just, you know, get a chance to do something creative, you know, it really is. It's an outlet. And you feel just normal. You feel good. And, you know, not to be able to do that is just torture.
It is. And that's such an important point. I mean, you know, Ash and I have found writing as our, not just creative outlet, but as something that just means something important to us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be something necessarily creative that you want to do, as long as you're doing the things that, you know, that make you giggle, that make you excited, that mm-hmm. make you feel good.
Find your bliss.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, speaking of bliss, I was going to mention this later, but I just finished.
Yes.
I just finished reading How to Date a Dragon.
Yay. That's great.
Which is an Ash's Flirting with Fangs series. How much do you mm-hmm. guys love the name of that series? There are three or four books in that series.
Three.
Three mm-hmm. books. Here they are. Flirting Under a Full Moon, How to Date a Dragon and Kissing with Fangs. Now, I have to tell you, my personal, I picked the dragon one. I'm a huge dragon fan. I've always
great, good,
and you got such a hot red cover on that one. It's I love that. It's an awesome cover. But her heroine is named Bliss.
And you know, it's funny. That book came really close to hitting a list. And I wasn't planning on writing any more, you know, dragons, but my publisher was like, you've got to write more dragons. Can you give us more dragons? I was like, well, I guess so.
You want a dragon? Here's a dragon.
Right. Now I've got Boston Dragons coming out. The first book was just released a couple weeks ago, and that's I Dream of Dragons. And then in September, My Wild Irish Dragon is coming out.
See, now that works so well for Boston because that is one of that is part of Boston's heritage. Dragon? I mean, yes, we were started by Puritans. People
right.
So uptight, as Robin Williams once said, people so uptight the British kicked them out.
Yep.
But Ash is doing a little something here to change, you know, the view of that Puritan and mix it up. And it's, you know, the Irish are known for that hot-bloodedness and that passion and that,
yeah.
That wonderful wild side.
It is. It's fun. They are a fun people, really, you know. So I married two of them. Definitely, you know, it can be a wild ride. You know, and I've calmed down now in my older years, thank goodness. And my Mr. Amazing, who I'm married to now and have been for 22 years, you know, we just have more fun. People, you know, when they talk about marriage being work, we're like, what are they talking about? You know, this is fun. We're having fun. Thank God. You know, because it wasn't always like that. You know, the oh no part of my life was many years ago, almost 40 years ago. And this isn't something a lot of people know. You're going to be like one of the first I break this to. But I was a battered wife.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah. And this was, yeah, like I said, ages ago. And I was, you know, very young. And I didn't know. I was very idealistic. At that time, I didn't know that you couldn't fix a man.
Oh, yeah, the unfortunate side of the Beauty and the Beast complex.
Right, exactly. And so even though, you know, I had this experience, I really consider myself the quintessential hopeless romantic. Because I came back from that, and I am living my happily ever after now. And so I do believe that this is possible. And I think that it's really, you know, it's important to, yes, remember this is fiction and this is, you know, fantasy. But it really is, you know, we do have soulmates in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person isn't happy, they don't have to stay in that situation. There's... You know, I mean, I was lucky. I had parents to go to, and I, you know, my heart bleeds for people who have to, you know, go to a shelter or something and then, you know, hide and hope the, you know, the abuser doesn't find them and that sort of thing. I'm very lucky in a way that, you know, I had my infant daughter in my arms and my parents took me in. And yet, you know, it was so necessary. I went to nursing school, had to go back to school because I was an art school dropout when I got married.
Oh, I'm sure
the first
we could write
time.
A song on that one. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, my life was a country song for a while there. It's better now. It's so much better now.
It's interesting. You said, you know, you're the poster child for, you know, soulmates and happily ever afters.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I mean, how many times as both romance readers and as writers, you know, well, you know, why does anybody read these? They're not the truth. Well, well, thank God neither is Stephen King.
Right.
And he will be the first to tell you that.
Right.
But what's even more, what people who don't read in our genre, or who people who don't read a lot of fiction understand is that within, there's an expression, the lie that tells the truth.
Yeah.
In these stories are truthful characters who have recognizable aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, for example, that I remembered a lot of an abusive relationship. It was my first serious one in college after reading a novel by Catherine Coulter.
Oh.
It was a historical, and her heroine is first married to a much older man, and we see him physically and sexually abusing her.
Yeah. Oh, I hate those books of the 70s. Oh, my
God. Well, actually, this one isn't even that old.
Oh,
this one was probably the late 80s or mid to late 80s. And it's a historical. So we see it very quickly.
It's
a situation.
Different...
And eventually, of course, she finds her new one. And when I met her, mm-hmm. I told her that this, well, now we use the word triggered. But then I just simply said, it reminded me. Mm-hmm. And she was so upset at first. She said, did I hurt you? I said, no, it set me on the path to a happy ending.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
No, we do get to see that. Yes, even the heroines of our books or the heroes of our books make mistakes.
Yeah, they go through the coping with life that we all go through. They have to, you know, stumble and fall and pick themselves up again. And just, you know, we're all trying to get to that, achieve that happiness.
Absolutely. Quotient,
you know, that makes our lives worth living. And it's,
I was going to say, sometimes it doesn't, you know, you could read 1,000 self-help books.
Yeah.
And never feel as good as one romance novel or one romance fiction novel.
Absolutely.
Might make you feel, and that may be what you need. That good mm-hmm. feeling may just remind you, wait a second.
Yep. And it's also a healthy escape.
Oh,
you know, because sometimes you do, you just have to escape from reality. And what's more healthy than reading, you know?
Absolutely.
You're exercising your mind.
Yeah. Although coloring's becoming very big suddenly. Coming up to a break. My music should be popping in any second now. So we're going to go into our break. Come back now for although Ash has already kind of introduced it, a little bit of our Oh No section. Next on the O-Spot here on Ohm Times Radio. Ah, there's that beautiful theme music.
Your mind with Ohm Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
Are you wondering what is really going on behind the news? Check it out. Join your hosts, Cielito Pasquale and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share on the Air Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Ohm Times Radio. You can also find us on shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for. Check it out.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Ohm Times.
Here's my happy dancing music. Okay, welcome back to our second segment of the O-Spot here on Ohm Times with my awesome special guest, Ashlyn Chase, who, if any of you have seen my listing for my book, The Glass Stiletto, on Amazon, you might recognize her name because she read it. I was mm-hmm. enough to say lovely things about my Cinderella.
It was wonderful. It was very, very refreshing, very different. And, you know, you can retell these stories and, you know, there are just so many ways to do it without realizing, you know, that you're hearing the same story again and again.
Absolutely. I mean, when they say they're timeless, they really are. And I think what makes mm-hmm. them timeless is that, you know, maybe the original moral of being kind isn't what we necessarily only want to teach girls, but there are themes in there that we can now tease out. We can find different ones. Mm-hmm. And in my case, of course, in that Cinderella, my change of the theme was instead of seeing the prince, well, she turned him down. It was the last thing she needed was to be under the scrutiny of royalty. My God, thank you very much. Now, yep. I have to laugh because Ash has written, I was fortunate enough to be able to
edit.
Thank you. Oh, I used to know English. Edit an anthology for Ravenous called Spellbound. And Ash agreed to do a story for me. And she did my all-time favorite Rapunzel, who actually curses a blue streak while her hair is being pulled. And I remember not reading it and laughing and thinking, oh, finally.
Yeah, I just love pointing out the obvious.
Yes, this is called the heart.
Oh, that was a great, fun project, and I really appreciate your asking me to do that.
It was a blast, and it was a great story. And it's funny, you know, as writers, we never know where something's going to carry us. Ash and I would say, you know, I said I had just heard the wonderful Bliss and Drake Dragon book, and it was something that clicked so well for readers that's how the Boston Dragons came about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. And I've had something similar. I did mine for that anthology. It was called Legs, and it was The Little Mermaid. And since then, mm-hmm. mermaids have become big.
Yeah.
So I did a mermaid story, and the publisher, it wasn't the right fit for the publisher, but now so I have the rights back, and now it's going to a new one.
Oh, great.
So Wings of Pleasure gets to get expanded, and I get to finally do the other books in the series.
Right.
And
oh, that's great.
It is. It's so exciting when you can just kind of, you know, go with, you know, you something piques your interest, and mm-hmm. you find a way to keep going with it. Absolutely. Now, for any of you who go to Amazon to pick up I Dream of Dragons, you're going to see a quote from Romance Junkies on about How to Date a Dragon, which is the one I was saying I read with Bliss and Drake. And mm-hmm. I love their quote because it's so appropriate for what Ashlyn writes. This is zany characters, sarcasm, sizzling sensuality, humor, dragons, passion, romance, and true love abound. And that is so true. And you were just telling me you are reissuing, is it? You're a BDSM one.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is, it's called Love Cuffs. And it's, I've got about, first of all, it's me and Dalton Diaz.
We Ooh, that's
both wrote
right.
it together. Yep. So I don't want to take all the credit. But anyway, my heroine is a Jersey girl. She's a cop.
Yay, Jersey girls!
Yeah. And she busts a BDSM club. And guess who winds up in the handcuffs?
Oopsie.
So anyway, it's a whole romp. You know, the BDSM club owner decides that, you know, the only way to deal with her is to have a hypnotist wipe her memory of the whole, you know, club and him and everything. And so he has to get her to Vegas. It is. It's a.
Oh,
it's
yeah, that's a good solution.
It is quite the romp. It's a lot of fun.
And you also said it's got, I mean, I was calling it sort of a blooper reel, but.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just love, you know, pointing, you know, making fun of things that just require a little irreverence. And I'm sorry, BDSM is one of those things. It's just hilarious. There's all kinds of opportunities for humor there.
Let's face it, if we can't laugh at this, yes. you know, forget it, guys.
You got to laugh at life, really. You know, it'll try and get you down. And, you know, the best thing you can possibly do is just laugh at it. Say, it's ridiculous. Yes, it's absurd. And that's the way I can cope with things sometimes.
Yeah.
with humor. And thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly some things to take seriously, but if in the process we can take ourselves kind of lightly.
Oh, yes. Yeah, much, much more helpful, I think, to be able to just laugh at yourself. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes a certain level of confidence to do that. It's, you know, that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. A lot of us will do it. I know, and I've heard more women than I care to count say the things that they sound funny but are really very self-deprecating.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the ability to look at the fact that you've, you know, run out of the house with two different shoes
yeah.
and say, yeah, that's just such a Rachel thing to do. As yeah. opposed to saying, you know, making fun of yourself, yep, I'm an idiot. Isn't this funny? You know, you want, let the humor be a way you build yourself up.
Yeah, embrace the crazy.
There we go. All follow your bliss.
Have something
crazy,
right? We all have our things. Sticker. We all have our little quirks, and you know, if you own them, nobody can really do anything to hurt you with them. You know, it's like, yeah, go for it.
And even better,
I know
to attract the people who adore your quirks.
That's right.
You
those,
know,
those
love
people
them
your
and
tribe.
Accept them and.
Yep. Oh gosh. You know, those people are so, so worth their weight in gold. You know, if they can tolerate your crazy and even appreciate it, they are your people.
That they are. Well, you, I mean, you have, if you go to Ash's page on Amazon or onto her website, she talks about having a theme, and my listeners here have heard me talk about platform, you know, the thing that, you know, we just love to, that really means so much to us. And Ash refers to hers as characters who reinvent themselves, because that's something you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that a bit in the beginning, how important that is.
Right.
And, you know, I'd like to add that you haven't just reinvented yourself. You've uncovered yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, definitely pulled back some layers. Starting out, when I was growing up, I thought I was going to be an artist. And I went to art school. And, you know, 2 years into it, I went to the job counselor. And I said, so when I graduate with my BFA, what kind of a job can I get? And she laughed and laughed.
It's the reaction you want.
I know. And she handed me a newspaper article that said, for every job that requires a BFA, there are 300 MFAs applying. And I was like, oh no,
hey.
What? So, I quit. I got married. I had a baby. That blew up. And then what do? You know, and I was lucky enough. I was able to start over, went to nursing school. I was kind of like a round peg in a square hole. You know, I'm not a scientifically minded person, but here I was in this scientifically minded profession, and I still needed that creative outlet. And so I had to do that on my own time.
Mm.
And, I was, you know, trying to do a little balancing act there. And so I went into psych nursing because that was a lot more, it was a lot less black and white and
yes,
a lot more sort of, yeah, adventurous and exploratory. We're still learning about our minds. We're still learning about what makes people tick. And I got my degree in behavioral sciences, which was, you know, a sort of a combination of psych and sociology. And so it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. And now, you know, when I do characters, I don't even have to think about, you know, well, if he's like this, then how would he react to that? I just know. I think a lot of us just know. But, you know, I can sort of pick out this person and say, yep, you know, this is his character flaw. This is his big flaw. And this is how he's going to react, you know, to anything that's, you know, pushing on that crack, you know? And, yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to use our backgrounds and then to build on them, you know? And yeah, every experience I've had has sort of brought me to another place, which is another jumping off point. I took interior design for a while.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I decided I don't want to be an interior designer, but I finished the course and said, you know, well, that was good. I can interior design my own home now. And I took hypnotherapy, and I was a hypnotherapist on the side from my nursing for a while, you know, and cured people of smoking for several months, and then they would go back to it. I feel like a failure.
Well, sorry about that part, but yeah.
Right, but you know, it was a good experience. You know, I learned that, you know, hypnosis isn't magic.
No.
That people, you know, will use that as a tool. You know, it's motivation. It gets you where you want to go, but it is essentially up to the person to keep on that path, because you know, it's not magic. It's not going to, you know, take the cigarette and knock it out of your hand.
No, they've yet to come up with that.
Somebody, yeah.
You know, if there was something that actually, you know, if we knew it for certain worked, everybody would be using it. And it does. It takes a lot of layers. And it occasionally takes, as you said, the reinvention and the peeling mm-hmm. back and the,
yeah,
the re-looking at truths and the, you know, we're so quick to, and I've said this a lot here, but you know, we're quick to list our negatives, but it's mm-hmm. so important that we keep uncovering all of our positives.
Right. And you know what? I would like to see more people complimenting each other, more people saying, oh, you know what? You do that really well. And, you know, I don't think we hear that enough. I really don't. We're so apt to be torn down or tear each other, you know. Hopefully I don't tear other people down. I hope not. At least not in real life.
I'm not tearing you down. I am interrupting you. We're going to have our music. We're going to come back for Oh Yes, and we're going to build each other up some more here on the O-Spot.
Yay.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Alicia Isaacs-Howes.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. You can find us every week here on OM Times Radio at Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to the O-Spot. I am your host, Rachel Kenley, and with me today is best-selling author Ashlyn Chase. And if you love fantasy and dragons and really hot guys as much as I do, you got to check out her newest book, I Dream of Dragons. In the Boston Dragons series.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling this the series that never ends, hopefully. Because it started out with Strange Neighbors, and there's three books in that series.
That's right. Strange Neighbors, yep. Vampire Next Door, and some Werewolf Upstairs, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Yay!
Very good. And so those three started the spinoff series, which is the Flirting with Fang series.
Uh-huh.
And there's three in that. And then the Boston Dragon series, three more. And I just got a contract for four more after that. And so, yeah, this is like the series that never ends.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it keeps, you know, you get visits from the old characters from the old books, and people say, oh, gosh, it's like visiting with an old friend. And I love that. It's just, you know, it's like a whole community that has sort of evolved. And, you know, I just feel like they are my family. They're part of
That's
me.
That's awesome. You have to put that up on the website, kind of like, by the way, the hero and heroine or the hero of this one's going to appear here so you can see them again.
Yeah, it is kind of fun because I'll get letters from people. I love this when people write and say, well, what happens to this one? And what about that one? And I like, you've got to hang on for this next book.
Tell everybody a little bit more about I Dream of Dragons. How did this first book? I mean, you guys can check out the summary that's up on all the websites. But this is a story for Rory. And how do you pronounce his last name? Arish.
Arish. Yeah.
Arish. And the woman he cannot get out of his mind is Amber McNally.
Right. Yep. She's a flight attendant. And, yeah, she is flying the ambivalent skies.
Woohoo!
She's really, kind of had this job for a while. It's not going anywhere. It's not what she expected. And, she gets home from a trip and realizes that, there's a note on her door and it's an eviction notice. And, the whole building is being evicted so they can redo it in condos. So she's looking for a new apartment, and Rory, who has, he's our dragon, and he has two sisters, and he's the oldest, and he's, you know, very protective of his sisters, which we like. And he's just been kicked out of Ireland by the leprechauns. And oh, yes, there are leprechauns. And so anyway, he finally gets to Boston. You know, they have a bit of a convoluted trip there by way of Iceland. But they hear finally that, you know, there is a place where they speak English and there's a large Irish population. And so they come to Boston and they are also interested in this same apartment because it turns out that it's a paranormal friendly apartment building.
Oh, well, thank goodness.
Right. It turns out that it's the apartment building that Strange Neighbors took place in.
Aha!
Yes. And so anyway, there's two vacant apartments, and Amber is signing the lease with the female half of the management. The manager is a husband and wife team. And Rory is signing the lease on the same apartment and paying in cash with the husband half, and they discover that they have both rented the same apartment at the exact same time. And the managers, they're not legal people. They don't know, you know, necessarily how to make this decision. So they just finally say, you know, well, possession is 9/10 of the law. So there's this mad dash for the apartment. And, yeah, she's in the lead, and then he vaults over the railing, and they manage to burst through the door at the exact same time. And then it's who's going to blink, you know, who's going to leave first.
Mm.
So it's quite fun. I love sometimes stories where people are trapped together and they are stuck. And
this is a sort of a strange bedfellows kind of story.
It really is. Yep, it is. I love fish out of water stories. I love strange bedfellows stories. I love anything where people are put in uncomfortable situations. And
it's true, because one of two things are going to happen. Their best is going to, well, one of three things.
Yes.
Their best is going to come out. Their worst is going to come out, or both.
Right, exactly. Yep. And a lot of times I do try and get both in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Scream, cry, go crazy. But you come around eventually to acceptance.
Now, I know you said you were asked to create more dragon stories, because obviously mm-hmm. there's a huge readership out there. We love our fantasy creatures from, mm-hmm. I've mentioned mermaids, now we're seeing dragons, all of them, wizards and all of it.
Yeah.
But when it came time to write the story, did the heroine come to you first or did the hero?
Definitely the hero. And it was funny because at first, I was going to do what everybody does, the three brothers or whatever. And But, the two others, they were just standing there like lumps. It wasn't until I realized they were sisters, they were women, and they started chattering away at me. And, I love Irish women. They are so sassy and so, they're not afraid of anything, and they'll stand right up to you.
Mm-hmm. And
so I said, these girls, I love them. I love these girls. So, yeah, I had to have them be females, and I had to talk my editor into letting me do that.
Because your others, the paranormal has been the male.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is, putting a twist on it. I do like to mix things up. Yeah. I don't want to be predictable. That's one thing that, for me, it's a goal. I want to surprise people. I want to keep it all fresh.
Well, you mentioned earlier, let's see, you have a BFA and then the nursing and then you had the hypnotism. You're clearly, what they like to call in the school systems as a lifelong learner.
Oh, yeah.
You're obviously somebody who just, give me a new opportunity, give me something new to try, learn, whatever, and I'm all over it. And mm-hmm. that shows in how you've obviously are choosing to write these things. I'm not going to be boring, and I'm not going to necessarily do what everybody else has done, because mm-hmm. this interests me more.
I would get bored.
Yeah.
Can't do that. I just, I love to entertain myself at the same time that I'm entertaining other people. And that's when I found humor, because I was trying to write suspense early on. And, it's because that's what everyone in my critique group was writing.
Oopsie. Yeah. Listen, everybody, nothing wrong with romantic suspense. I happen to love it. But if it's not what you write,
Oh, there's always some suspenseful situation that winds up in there, because you have
this
story.
True.
But it wasn't until I started reading reviews telling me, that they loved my sense of humor, that I just decided, well, what the heck? I'll go full on off the wall humor and try and see how that goes. And oh my God, I found that was what made me most happy. I just loved doing comedy. And, entertained myself too. If I can wind up giggling at the computer, then I am very happy. And sometimes, I'll even write a scene that makes me, a little teary. And that's the best thing ever. If you can take people on an emotional ride, I don't want to be just going up all the time. I don't want to just go down all the time. Mm-hmm. I want to take people on a little bit of a roller coaster.
But you brought up a really important point, and that is that just as we, you couldn't write to satisfy what you thought either your critique group wanted mm-hmm. or what seemed to be selling, mm-hmm. you had to be true to you and your writing voice.
Yes.
And who you are both as a person and as a writer, because they overlap, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think too many women and too many people are afraid to do.
Right. Oh, it's so liberating, though, when you embrace your own crazy. Like I was saying before, when you say, yeah, you know, this is me. Take it or leave it. That is so freeing. It really is.
And it's a gift. It's a gift that is, it's a gift you give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It becomes a gift that you can then give to others because you are much more honest, much more free, much more connected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not trying to be somebody else.
Yeah.
Or, you know, live by somebody else's standards. I remember having a conversation with my husband once. And, you know, it was about something, you know, I'm really terrible at such and such. And he's like, well, do you want to work on that? I'm like, no, not really.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I'm older now. I don't want to spend time fixing the things that may or may not be broken. I'd rather just focus mm-hmm. on and enhance the things that are working really well.
Exactly. Yep. And as far as like going back to school and getting more degrees, no, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather take a dance class, you know, I did that. And, you know, I'll never stop learning. Like you said, I enjoy learning, but I want to learn for fun now. You know, it's not all about degrees and making sure that, you know, everybody knows how smart you are.
It's so true.
About having fun. It's about enjoying life.
It is. There's a new trailer I just saw. Tons of people put it up on their Facebook page. I think it's called Bad Moms.
Uh-huh.
And if you have, gang, if you haven't seen it, just find it. I mean, it's hard to believe Mila Kunis could, you know, be a mess because the woman is just a flippin' naturally beautiful. But yeah. It's hysterical. They're up to that bake sale, and they're like, you ready? You know this, know this, know this. And, of course, no soy, sesame, wheat, sugar, gluten, salt, milk. And she just stands up and goes, no!
That sounds like my daughter's in my trip to Ireland. Oh, my God. She's vegan and gluten-free.
Oh,
and
yeah. You're going to get a kick out of this.
Allergic to soy, everything in the world. She existed on potatoes and porridge all across Ireland.
All right. Beautiful music starting. Come back for our last section on the O-Spot, our Oh Wow, with Rachel Kenley and Ashlyn Chase here on the O-Spot.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
conscious media for conscious minds and really fun times for the rest of us. Welcome back to our final section on the O Spot. I'm Rachel Kenley, and my guest this evening is romance author Ashlyn Chase, whose newest book is I Dreamed of Dragons. Ooh. You know, lots of us do, too. I mean, ever since Puff the Magic won.
Yes. Oh, gosh. That brings me right back to my childhood.
Doesn't it? I love that. Yeah. I still love that song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to come up with names for the third dragon book right now.
Mm.
And that was one of the ones I came up with, Chris the Magic Dragon. I have like 33 titles right now, and they're all horrible. I don't know what they're going to wind up with. But we'll have to come up with something.
Oh, that's great. You know, I love hearing that. It's these little things that people, you know, don't realize, because, you know, the book comes to all of you whole and beautiful with this great cover and the blurb in the back. And you didn't know, but now you do, that there were 33 book titles.
Yes.
And Ashlyn ditched for the third one. Now, the second one is coming out later this year, yes?
Yes, yep, My Wild Irish Dragon.
Yes.
That was named by a fan.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I put on my Facebook fan page, I need a name for dragon books. And so I had all kinds of great suggestions. And this one, you know, I said, you know, these are dragons from Ireland. And I didn't say a whole lot about it. And this one woman, fabulous lady, it's funny, she used to be my optometrist.
Oh, that is.
Yes, she helped me with my glasses, too. And so anyway, her name is Kathy, and she came up with this title. And I said, I love it. I'm going to fight for it if I have to. And I did. And they finally said, yes, okay, you can have that title.
But that's something I think a lot of people don't realize. Sometimes we will title a book and editors and sales departments will change it on us.
Yes, and absolutely.
It can be a really tough thing, but it's important. And I say this because whatever dream you're going for and whatever it is that, you know, excites you, you can't always get married to the little things. Like, I mean, right. A title of a book doesn't sound like a little thing, but trust me, when you've written 100,000 words and you've sweated over this and edited it 5 times, you know, you have to just kind of trust your publisher or whoever, you know, says, we're going to change it to this. We know this sells better.
Right.
So when somebody offers you that support on your dream, you know, be okay with it. You know, don't let go. And when you feel strongly, as Ash just said, you can fight for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's one thing, you know, picking your battles. Realizing that, yeah, you know, the marketing department, they probably do know a few more things about marketing than I do.
Yeah,
but, you know, at the same time, if there's a real good reason for something, like I had to fight for the title Heaving Bosoms.
Yeah, I love that title. So there you go.
Right. And, you know, the publisher, it was actually a publisher I was talking to about that one. And I said, you know, I did a little you know, experimental marketing on my own, a little marketing survey on my Facebook page. And I just put out, you know, to people, this is the title I'm thinking of. And I got all this, you know, wonderful support for it. Everybody thought it was hysterical. They loved it. And I said, you know, and that's what I want. I want people to start laughing at the front cover and not end until the very end of the book.
There you go.
And so, yeah, she said, okay, we'll give it a try.
It makes a promise.
Yes. Yes, it does.
You know, and I happen to love that. I always feel that way about the opening of a book, but it can be true. And it's wonderful when it's true about a book as well. I mean, you know, okay, this is going to sound dirty when I say it, but you know what you're getting. Yep,
I love that.
Called Heaving Bosoms.
Yes.
This is
well, you know, there was Heaving Bosoms and then Quivering Thighs. And so anyway, I was being encouraged to write another one. And I was like, well, what am I going to call that?
Yeah.
And my husband suggested Bumping Uglies.
Good Lord.
And I was just like, no, I don't think I can get that one past the publisher. No way.
Yeah, not even nice in try. E-book form is that one going to be. No one wants that one on the receipt. You know, that's the thing. The titles obviously are important. You know, they let people know, they give people information. But, you know, it's not as if, you know, thanks to ebooks, you know, it's not as if they had to pull it off the shelf and be seen buying something called Heaving Bosoms.
Exactly. Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, now men can read romance novels, you know, without shame, you know, on the train or wherever they're, you know, on the plane. And nobody knows what you're reading on an ebook. You know, I've been writing ebooks since before the Kindle.
Yes, when you first came out, and I remember when I did, I don't know what surprised people more about my first book, that it was an erotic romance, which was okay, or that it was an ebook. I mean, both of those things were completely foreign.
Yeah.
And then in the less than 10 years since my first book came out, because my first book came out in 2007, between the Kindle and 50 Shades of Grey, somehow we ended up mainstream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing that was really a mind blower for me, too. You know, I mean, erotica has gotten so out of my comfort zone that I've just said, okay, I guess I don't write it anymore. I write the same as I always did. The thing is, the genre went above and beyond.
It went above, yeah, because once you've pushed the envelope, I was on a panel with another editor once from Lucid, and she was like, I don't even know where the envelope is anymore.
I like that. That's a good way
to put it. Between you know, undead characters and vampire characters, and so you have all the paranormal ones, and then you have all the combinations. I mean, when I first started, you would say the hero and the heroine. Which could now be the hero and the hero, or the heroine of the heroine,
right?
Or the hero and hero and heroine. You could go pronoun and arm crazy, because let me tell you, writing sex scenes with, it's hard enough to figure out where to pull all the limbs.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. So I'm sure there'll be something else to push the boundaries.
I know.
At and some point. I find it fascinating, though, and yet a really good sign, because to me, you know, you talked about men just now, men reading it without having to be ashamed. Because there is, obviously, I mean, they still call them bodice rippers and those cheap harlequins. But at the same time erotica was taking off, so was inspirational romance. Which is the opposite spectrum in some ways.
Right, absolutely. It's Christian romance.
Sweet.
Nothing, it's always sweet. There's nothing beyond a kiss.
Yeah. And nothing before marriage usually, and things behind closed doors. And that was almost, I mean, they haven't had a 50 Shades of Grey or a Bear to You series yet, but they also, though, were doing very well. Mm-hmm. And I think it just speaks to the fact that we're finally, and this is something we do talk a lot about here on the OSPOT, is we're finally swinging that pendulum back to, you don't have to be one way to be successful, and you don't have to be another way to be successful. You know, for a long time, you know, since the 60s, since that women's movement, because there have been several. During that one, the powers that are ascribed to men were the ones that were considered valuable.
Right.
And the ones ascribed to women deemed less valuable.
And that bugs me.
Oh, me too. And I think in this wonderful, slowly but surely post-baby boomer world, that we kind of looked at that and gone, no. That's not right. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be manly, and you don't have to be the Marilyn Monroe. You find the middle ground. We will, you know, see more like hopefully Audrey Hepburn and Angelina Jolie. I use them because they're so well known. But we need that balance between, I mean, ladies, we need the feminine energy in this world.
Right. Absolutely.
And nobody carries it and brings it to the world better than we do.
Exactly. You know, we do. We need more laughter and love in this world. And there's so much violence. You know, I don't want to be a crusader for, you know, ACT TV or any of that stuff. But, you know, it bothers me that there's so much violence playing a video game. I don't know how they make them without violence, or do they? I don't even know if they do.
The younger, some of the ones for the younger ones, the more animated ones tend to be, but it's true. And it's not as if Ash doesn't write these seriously alpha heroes.
Yeah.
But but we also create, and this is one of the things I think people who don't read romance miss the boat on. We create seriously alpha heroines.
Right. Absolutely.
We create women who are strong, in yeah. who they are. And that's always a part of my heroine's journey, too. And I know it was mm-hmm. true for Bliss, having mm-hmm. just read yep. your book. She has to, I mean, she meets this wonderful guy, but until she's really strong in who she is and the decisions she's made that her family mm-hmm. are like, about, she's not going to be saying yes to this man.
Right. She's not somebody you can push around. Not at all. She's a very, I love her because she is so sarcastic and so, you know, this is the way I feel and too bad. And yeah, you know, sometimes she puts her foot in her mouth. She's a blurter.
Yeah.
She comes out and says what she thinks. But I love people like that. You know, I really do. There are too many polite people around,
well,
I think.
Well, I agree. And I like to think, and I hope that for every time there's somebody like you writing a character like Bliss, there's 10 people reading the book going, hey, this is me. Yeah. I'm a heroine. I'm awesome. Right. I deserve the love and respect and support of an mm-hmm. awesome man, and I deserve it from myself. So we have about 1 minute to go. I hope mm-hmm. Ash, you might consider coming back when my Wild Irish Dragon comes out.
Oh, sure. Love that. This has been fun. It's been great.
Oh,
just I'm catching up with you.
Yay! So I want people to check out I Dream of Dragons or any of the others of Ashlyn's books that tickle your fancy.
Mm.
She has a wonderful range. And is that my music? That's my music. So good night from the O Spot. Thank you from Ash, from me to Ashlyn. I'm so glad you were here with me tonight. Everybody, go out, laugh at yourself, enjoy the mm-hmm. world. What did we say? Follow your bliss and accept your crazy.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good night from the O Spot. This is Rachel Kenley. Until next week.